Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Earlier this week, when I started to prepare a sermon for today, an article that I read by a woman named Caroline Lewis stopped me and made me rethink the whole thing. Because after reading the article, I couldn't help but wonder if we have metaphorized this familiar gospel story to death. And I know that's not a word, but you know what I mean. You've heard the sermons. Never forget that Jesus is in the boat with you. What are the storms in your life? Do you ever feel like Jesus is sleeping when your world is turning upside down? And none of those metaphors is bad. But what if? What if in this gospel story, this very familiar text, what if a boat is just a boat and a storm is just a storm and a sleeping Jesus is just a tired Messiah? Because when we over-sentimentalize, and I'm not sure if that's a word either, or spiritualize the story, I think we might be overlooking the obvious. And that is that this boat trip was a means by which to get from one place to another. It's that simple. To get to the other side, if you will. And maybe that is as much a point from this text as anything else. Because left to our own devices, we know we as human beings would rather stay where we are. That's human nature. And it also seems to be the nature of faith. It's easier to stay in our comfort zones, to default to our pet theologies, to remain in what is known, so it's easier to sit, to wait. And wait for what? The right time or for someone else to make the first move? I don't know. But maybe that's why Jesus doesn't give his disciples any time to think about their trip. Because it's also human nature that thinking about it is one of our very best excuses to stay where we are. And the problem with Jesus is he seems rather dissatisfied with letting us live on one side of the lake for too long. Think about it. If the disciples had said to Jesus that day, well, what if there's a storm? They would have never gotten into the boat, because there are always storms on the Sea of Galilee. If the disciples had said to Jesus, well, first tell us what's on the other side, they would have never gotten in the boat, because what's on the other side involves a demon-possessed guy who lives in a cemetery and a herd of pigs. You can't make this stuff up. And the truth is, the hardest thing in this whole story is to just get in the boat. And we all understand that, and we all know why. Because sometimes it's hard to get in the boat because we're afraid. Whether we'd like to admit it or not, fear is a big motivator in life. And fear is especially a big motivator in our lives of faith. You've been through this. A couple argues about spending money on something significant. The argument really isn't about that purchase. The argument is about the fear that there might not be enough to pay the other bills. A parent and a teenager argue about a curfew. The argument really isn't about the curfew. It's about the teenager's fear of missing out and the parent's fear of all the things that could harm their beloved child. And even in the church, there's fear. The church makes a statement or takes a position that you disagree with. The issue's usually not the position, but the fear of losing identity, the fear of being in a new place, the fear of being ridiculed by those who don't understand that monolithic thinking is not a requirement in our community of faith. And while sheer evil and mental illness and hatred were significant and probably primary factors. Make no mistake about it. Fear helped motivate the senseless acts of violence at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. Fear is a big deal. And fear is also seductive. But notice Jesus' words to his disciples. Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And those are hard words if Jesus is equating fear with a lack of faith, because then none of us, not one of us, would measure up. But it's also important to understand that faith is not just about believing. Faith involves an element of trust. A trust that motivates us to get into the boat in the first place. A trust that there is something on the other side that Jesus knows about and needs us to get to. And most importantly, we need to remember this. Jesus doesn't say, get in the boat and go over to the other side. Instead, he offers an invitation. Let us go over to the other side. Because the truth is, Jesus is there all along. Whether he's teaching about parables or sleeping on a cushion. What was on the other side wasn't all rosy. It had its own set of challenges. But Jesus did calm the seas. He did care for and look out for his disciples who were paralyzed by fear and assuming the worst, yet still good enough to receive God's mercy and grace. And if you're paying attention, maybe that should strike fear in our hearts as much as anything else. Because living in our modern world, we have a hard time with stories like this. We have a hard time with miracles like this. We either want to overlook them as just a part of a bygone worldview or try to make sense out of them rationally. Whether we want to admit it or not, or whether we even realize it or not, we fear miracles. We fear miracles because miracles change everything, including us. But whatever you might believe, miracles forced those disciples that day to see Jesus differently, to go over to the other side, to see themselves differently. It meant living in a new reality, a new perspective, and that can be as scary as it gets because they were changed forever. They came to know that God maybe was so much bigger than what they bargained for. And that while the life of faith may be at times harder than what they bargained for, that God had not abandoned them. Not to the violent storms of life or even to the gale-force winds of fear. They somehow found the courage not just to survive, but to thrive, to flourish. Not just to live, but to live with abundance. Not just to get by, but to dare to do great things, expect great things, ask for great things, and in turn share great things. And they came to know that while change is painful, nothing is as painful as staying stuck somewhere you don't belong. Believing that the other side is not only possible, but that it's essential. All because they came to know that maybe Jesus is more than they thought. And as they encounter the Holy One of God who has mastery over the wind and sea, and realize in that place between awe and horror and terror that life can never again be the same, I can't help but wonder, were the disciples more frightened before the stilling of the storm or afterwards? God love you. Amen.